Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. This is the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. And I should mention off the top here, hour number two of the program, there is a new telephone number to reach us and to be a part of the action. That's right. There's a new number. So I will say it, and then you can put it in your phone, and or you can write it down, or you can, like, hear it kind of and then miss it and then have to wait for me to say it again. Or you could use the rewind feature on the Odyssey app. And if you're not listening to us there, I at least would have it as a backup. Like, we're on radio stations all across North America. What an honor, by the way. Sincerely. We're on Sirius XM, channel 375. But for the most part, you can't rewind. Some radios, you're able to skip back a little bit if it's in a newer car. That's pretty neat. But if you listen on the radio, what I would also do is have it streaming in my phone, in my pocket. And then if you heard something that was so funny or brilliant or witty or cunning or just impressive, you can then rewind and hear it again. You don't have to wait for a podcast to be posted. It's instant laughter and joy and knowledge. So basically, the Odyssey app should be streaming on your phone the entire day. If you're worried about your battery, do what I do. I buy a case specifically that charges. So I charge my phone, and my case is a charger too. And right now, my case battery is drained. So I am on just my phone battery, and I'm at 95%, and I'm feeling uneasy about that. Because 95% is, I need to be over 100%. I need my bar to be green. When it's not green, it's not charging and taking the battery from the phone. I think it's one of the best pieces of equipment that I own. It's like $80. I mean, it's worth it. There's a lot of times you find yourself wanting more battery. I got battery with me wherever I go. And I love playing hero. Sometimes we'll be out and my wife's phone's down about 6-7%. And she goes, where am I going to find a charger? I go, honey, I got one right here for you.
Yo!
And she uses my phone charger. Reluctantly. I think she thinks it's cheating in a way. I don't know. It's weird. Weird dynamic there with the phone charger. She got a sleek one. That is, in terms of phone chargers, it's beautiful. But mine is practical. Why did I bring all this up? I don't know. I'll have to listen on the rewind feature when I go to break. 888-710-4ISN. We have a new phone number. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4477. Six. The selection show yesterday, right around the evening time, right around dinner, we get to see where our favorite team is. We get to see who's playing nearby. A lot of cities hosting these games this weekend. Lexington, Denver, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Raleigh, Seattle, Wichita, Providence. Did you say Newark? Oh, they've got the next round. I see. They've got the Sweet 16. Newark, correct. Atlanta, San Francisco, Indianapolis. Oh, you might have to go to that.
Again, if I can finagle cheap tickets, I will.
Can't you, like, go cover it? You got the ultimate pass being in the media.
Yeah, I still haven't exercised that right / abused that privilege yet.
I covered a tournament once, maybe the last time I was in Milwaukee. And by cover, I mean I just sat there and watched the game.
Pretty much what I'd be doing.
any interviews. And then they're like, okay, if we're going to give you a pass, you have to go both days. You can't just go one day. I go, okay. And I just went the one day.
See, that's why they offered us credentials for the Big East tournament that was here in New York, Madison Square Garden. I was worried that I was not going to be able to go to the half of it. So I'm like, let me not eat up a pass. But I should have just did it. You know what? You convince me. I'm gonna twist some arms.
Yeah, twist some arms, break some knees, whatever you got to do. That may be what North Carolina did to get into this tournament.
What a segue.
So the problem with North Carolina is that if you rank them with some of these other teams, they're not as good. But they're in the tournament. And why that's a problem more this year than other years is that their athletic director is the committee chair. He's on the selection committee. He's the chair of it. So when they're talking about his school, he'll leave the room, fine. But it does seem like North Carolina may have gotten the benefit of having friends in high places. West Virginia did not get in. Indiana did not get in. Ohio State did not get in. Boise State did not get in. Now, you can look at records. West Virginia, Indiana, both 19 and 13. Ohio State, 17 and 15. Big Ten. But they had a good net rate, net rank. They were 41. North Carolina was 36. So in that area, they do have the improvement. But in some of these other rankings, they're below. And the big problem is they played 13 games in quad one. So they take that net ranking and they look at, well, who are the best 25% of the teams? When North Carolina's played those teams, they lose those games. North Carolina had a tough non-conference schedule, but they lose those games. And on the after show, you had this show on CBS and then CBS Sports Network on TV had the breakdown, and John Rothstein was emphatic, you know what I'm trying to say. He was very persuasive that, no, North Carolina should not be in.
If the criteria for the NCAA tournament in terms of getting an at-large bid is to beat other NCAA tournament teams if you're on the bubble, how in the world could North Carolina get an at-large bid over Indiana and over West Virginia? Indiana, unlike North Carolina, has no quad 3 and 4 losses. Indiana went on the road to East Lansing and beat Michigan State, who's a 2 seed, and beat Purdue on its home floor, who is a 4 seed in this bracket. And Indiana did not get in the NCAA tournament. Then let's talk about West Virginia. West Virginia won a game at Allen Fieldhouse. West Virginia beat Gonzaga on a neutral court. It beat Arizona on a neutral court. It also beat Iowa State. And North Carolina is in over those two teams? I'm just waiting for somebody to say, we got some swamp water to sell you in Florida.
That's really good. That's really, oh man. I didn't know he was going to go there with that. That is really, really good. There were other people standing up for West Virginia, including the governor of West Virginia, who held a press conference today. They are going to investigate if there were any backroom shenanigans. So instead of just being like, oh boy, that seems sketchy, West Virginia, the attorney general of the state, and I don't know if this is for show. A lot of this happens for show. This never goes anywhere. But that's what the governor of West Virginia decided to do with his time today, is he held this press conference.
6 quad 1 wins. And that was combined with an undefeated record against quad 3 and quad 4 opponents. 3 wins against top 10 teams and the 24th toughest schedule in America. West Virginia deserved to be in the NCAA tournament. This was a miscarriage of justice.
A miscarriage of justice.
And robbery at the highest levels.
The highest levels. Wow.
Now, who was the last team to get into the tournament?
Tell me.
Ahead of the Mountaineers. That would be the University of North Carolina.
Hmm.
Now let's see how their resume stacks up. The Tar Heels went 1-12 in quad one games and even had a quad three loss. And we keep hearing about the importance of these quad one wins, but UNC couldn't even get six.
Oh, okay, the clip cut off. Good work on that one. I believe he was about to make an excellent point or a joke about selling swamp water. I'm not sure where that one was headed. So the issue again with North Carolina is North Carolina played a tough schedule, but they lost consistently to those teams. They lost to Kansas, who was number one at the time. They've fallen a bit, but they lost to Kansas. They took on Auburn, a number one seed, lost to them by 13. They lost to Alabama by 15. They lost to Michigan State. Game went to overtime, lost by 3. They lost to Florida by 6. They did beat UCLA. That's the one shiny thing there. They lost to Louisville by 13. And then in conference, they lost to Clemson. And they lost to Duke all three times. And the game they played the other night against Duke Friday in the ACC tournament semifinal, they were down 45-24 at halftime. And had that game continued on that pattern, maybe that's enough. But they came charging back in the second half, outscoring Duke 47-29, had a game-tying free throw that got called back because of a lane violation. Otherwise, they win, they go to the ACC tournament final, and then maybe people are like, oh, okay, well, you know, they at least were playing hot down the stretch. But I don't know if they don't have that big second. I mean, it was another loss. You're rewarding North Carolina for losing okay. It's not about the win. They're getting credit for the losses. So it's just different. It's just interesting. I'm not mad about it. We're arguing between team 68 and 69. And someday we're going to be arguing between 76 and 77. And maybe between 96 and 97. That would suck. But there's always going to be a team that gets left out. In football, we've seen robbery at the highest levels. We've seen miscarriages of justice. When Florida State went 13-0, won a Power 5 conference, and was left out. That was garbage. But we were arguing then between 4 and 5. We're arguing now between 68 and 69. Florida State, there was nothing more they could have done to not get in, other than maybe list Jordan Travis as questionable, because once they said he was out for the year, that gave everybody the ammunition that they needed to say, oh, they're going to suck anyway. But for West Virginia, like, yeah, it sucks that you didn't get in, and you can make a case that you are better than North Carolina, but also you had a full schedule where you could have simply won more games. And, you know, that may be unfair or crude, but that's what it comes down to. You could have beat Colorado in the tournament instead of losing in it right away. You could have beat Baylor, who you lost to by 3 in overtime. You could have beat Kansas State. You could have played Houston more competitive the two times you lost to them. Now, they did have some good wins. They beat Kansas. They beat Gonzaga. You heard the governor. They beat Arizona. But it's not like, what more could we have done? There's always more that you could have done. You lost 13 times. So I do think they should have gotten in based on all the different parameters over North Carolina. And especially the AD case. That's why this is a little different. If this was just North Carolina getting in over West Virginia, it would be something. It would be something, and we would talk about it, and that's, you know, that's great. But the AD, the North Carolina AD, he's the chair of the committee. So that's weird. I mean, say what you want, but that is weird. All right, the phone number to get involved, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Lee in Cincinnati figured it out. Hello, Lee.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And all I have to say is what I cannot understand about all this rigmarole, all about the outrage about West Virginia not getting in and North Carolina getting in. How many times has a number 16 team, the 16th seed in any conference, ever made it to the elite, even the Elite Eight? Never. It does not happen. Okay? So why is there all this big deal? So what? The last team got in, it was North Carolina, it wasn't West Virginia. So what? They're not going to go anywhere. They're probably going to lose their first game anyway, the way you cut it. Am I right or am I wrong?
There's been teams recently, I think VCU. So what happens is the teams, the 16 and 15 and 14, those are the smaller conferences that are the automatic qualifiers. The lowest at-large bid that's given out, those are actually 11 seeds. And VCU a few years ago was an 11 seed. They were an at-large. And then they made a run. So it is rare. We do spend a lot of time talking about who got screwed and who should be in, and then they lose their first or like North Carolina plays tomorrow night. I think they would lose, or they could.
Well, here's the thing. Well, the team that I'm pulling for, okay, to be quite honest with you, and the team I hope wins it all, because I've even got the logo tattooed on my left shoulder, is the Florida Gators, and I think they're going to take it all, and I hope that they do. But tell me, do you think that either North Carolina or West Virginia could stack up to a team like Florida or like Auburn or like any of those teams? Do you think they could come close to winning it? No. So what's the big deal? It doesn't matter. They're not going to win it anyhow. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, Lee, that's a good way to look at things. For me, as I'm breaking down college basketball with you, as one of the foremost experts of the sport since last Tuesday, because I think a couple of weeks ago I said I don't get into college basketball. I realize that's wrong. I do, just once the conference tournaments start. So I'm one of those guys, but I get into it. So I'm trying to answer your question about the differences between Florida and North Carolina. And I will tell you that Florida's odds are better than North Carolina's by a lot, and they're a better seed. So, therefore, they are a better team. It does seem like the number one seeds, if it's going to be chalky, if we're going to be in for some chalk, it could be that way. I got a tweet here from my buddy Ryan Horvat, BetMGM tonight. He says, no way are you still talking about that Florida State team. Horvat knows that I was personally offended when that Florida State team did not get in, because it showed me as a human that all logic is dead and gone.
I'm offended.
And I will be the last one on earth. With my dying breath, it's the odds of what I'll say with my dying breath. I love you, son. I love you, honey. Some sort of advice or wisdom. We're talking 3-1, 4-1 kind of odds. The odds of me saying Florida State should have made Jordan Travis questionable instead of put him on the injured reserve or said he was out for the year, we're like 12-1 territory. Some sort of slight against Alabama, like 16-1 territory. I will never quit. I will never, ever, ever quit. And I'm proud of it. Everybody's got to have something. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, our new digs around here, if you'd like to get in on our college basketball breakdown from somebody who's been doing it at a high level now for 5 days. We will return on the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Well, I got to update that one. I'm pro AI now, remember?
That is right. You are a friend of AI.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Last week, I realized that because Daryl Morey of the Sixers, team president, said that sometimes they will use AI and those large language models, you know, like a Siri or something, they will use ChatGPT or whatever and ask it what they should do. And they use it as one piece of the puzzle, but they use that. And he's going to get ridiculed for that. But then I thought, well, before I make fun of him, maybe I'll give it a try. And I found out that it can help me prep very well. And it can actually, like, there are benefits. Like, remember that tidbit I had about the last time four number one teams were in the Final Four when it was four number one seeds? I asked AI that question.
Bart Winkler, the enemy of all AI.
Yeah. How about that? I got a question for you, and this is a weird sort of thing that I experience because I don't live in New York City.
Noted.
Okay. We are operated out of New York City. I actually have only been to New York one time, and it was for like 7 hours. And we got on one of those buses and toured around.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had a wedding on Long Island.
Oh, so you had to come in through either LaGuardia or JFK and obviously make your way out to the island. Yeah. So
No. If you must know.
Uh-huh.
We had a wedding. We went to D.C. to meet some friends on July 4th and then drove up 95.
Yes, that's the highway that's here.
Yeah, and then we went through Manhattan and did a touristy day. And then got a great local piece of pizza at the Sbarro.
Oh, God, what are you, Michael Scott?
Just kidding. And then we drove out to Long Island, but like all the way at the end, like the rich part.
Oh, like the Hamptons where, you know, Michael Rubin and friends throw their all-white parties that I'm clearly not invited to unless I'm to help?
Yeah. I don't know what city it was. I know because I remember Ronkonkoma we had to stop at.
Oh, what a dump. I got a story for Ronkonkoma, but I can't say that one on air.
What is it? It's we took the train. What do they call that over there?
Yeah, the LIRR, which is the Long Island Railroad, or as I disaffectionately call it, the LIRR.
Yeah. Where were we? Jamesport, maybe? Is that Richie?
Don't know that area. I'm sorry. Like, I know some parts of Long Island, but, you know, keep in mind, I am not a native New Yorker, so there are some places that sound fiction to me, like that place.
Man, Long Island really is its own little world, isn't it?
It's very long, and actually it's an inaccurate name because it's more of a peninsula than anything.
Yeah. Anyway, why I bring this all up is because I do feel like I am plugged into the New York sports scene.
Sure.
Because with the various people that I have worked with in the last 3 years, you know, producers and hosts and whatever.
Always good to hear from you, buddy.
Hey, Shep. We always like we'll do the follow on the internet, and so my feed is heavy New York. And so one thing that I've noticed that makes me upset is when people in New York, like people in New York, don't care about college sports basically at all.
Nope.
But then when something like a St. John's happen, you guys are all like, oh, St. Yeah. John's, what a run. This is so sweet.
It's so funny you mentioned that because I was listening to the New York side of things, WFAN, the affiliate here. And that's God, all that it. They were talking about is St. John. If St. John's made a run, it could be the biggest story on a day where the Yankees and Mets will open up this season. They were debating which one would be the bigger story. Yet Mets with Juan Soto taking his first game as a Met, Yankees obviously coming off of the heels of losing the World Series to the Dodgers in 5, and St. John's being as relevant as they are—not even just relevant, but really good under Pitino, his second season, who spurned my Gales to take that job. But in any case, that is how big that they are completely invested in college basketball. If St. John's or any of the local teams were not in, you wouldn't hear a peep. You'd be hearing calls about what the Yankees should be doing with Marcus Stroman and how come they don't have Nolan Arenado at third base, or the Mets, where are they going to get pitching from? That's all you'd hear about. College basketball would be complete afterthought. So, yes, the hypocrisy of the city.
I've seen it happen before because remember that little run that St. Peter's had?
I do know him well. Mac Rivals.
With that kid with the mustache or whatever?
Kid with the mustache. What a pull. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think it was Doug Edert.
Stand by.
Yeah. They had a little bit of a run. And then the guy transferred to Bryant and he like never played. Doug Eater. We had brought him up recently for some reason.
He's 25 years old already.
Yeah. What did they do? Oh, they beat Kentucky. And then they went to, they beat Purdue. And they were a 15 seed that got into the Elite Eight. And so maybe I'm wrong about New York. Maybe New York is so like thirsty and hungry to have some sort of college basketball or college football even to root for that they'll latch onto anybody.
College basketball for sure. Football, I don't think there's any teams that are like close proximity enough that the city will embrace. Like Rutgers is carried on WFAN's airwaves, but Rutgers is also like, it might as well be South Jersey. It might as well be Philadelphia North. Like, it's too far for the city to embrace. Syracuse is a couple hours away. I don't think college football will ever really stick out here.
Marco, are you into the St. John's run that everybody seems to be in New York for some reason?
I'm keeping tabs. I'm watching. I'm paying attention. Am I into it? Like, is it? No. I mean, it doesn't really do anything for me. But, yeah, I'm paying attention.
It's weird because I'm a Wisconsin Badgers guy. Okay, that's the team that I grew up rooting for. Marquette is in Milwaukee, and I don't like them. It's weird to live in a place where there's a team that I don't root for because I'm number one homer and die hard and try hard for every other team around me. But then there's this team, and I like don't root for them and don't like them. So I will like, but I'm cognizant of them in the way that you might be with St. John's, but I'm not into them.
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm used to not liking. There's plenty of teams. When you're in New York, like you either like or you don't like one of the two of the teams. There's so many of the teams. So I'm used to that. I just can't sit here and I'd be lying to you if I was saying a big St. John's or even a big college basketball fan. I'd be lying to you. Do I like watching the tournament? Love it. Do I enjoy watching a random game if it's on the studio? Of course. Am I going out of my way on a random Wednesday if I happen to have the night off and I have to watch Marquette and Wisconsin? No, I'm not. I'm lying to you if I do that. St. John's has got to play a big game against whatever, UConn. It's rare if I'm going to be off and I got to change my plans to watch the game.
Is the St. John's thing like, hey, it's a close team that we're into, or is it like, is it a lot of it because Rick Pitino's the coach?
A whole lot of it is Rick Pitino, and a whole lot of it is you got to remember how big St. John's was here. It's just been so long. I mean, we're talking 40 years, but St. John's did have a hold on this city. You're just going back to the 80s. I mean, the Chris Mullen, the Patrick Ewing with the Georgetown days, it's a long time ago. It feels like it was on another planet, but it was here, and that was enormous in New York in the 80s. It's just been so long since St. John's has been relevant. I mean, they had a couple of flare-ups here and there, but even that's been 25 years. So to get them back to prominence and to have Rick Pitino doing it, who's not only a big name, but a New York guy, a former Knicks head coach, there's a lot of ties that spur up nostalgia with all the New York fans.
So Rick Pitino has a track record of doing this kind of thing. I'm going to give you three records per school. It's going to be the season before, and then the first season with, and then the second season with. And we're going back to the late 70s. So in Boston University, they were 10-15, then his first year 17-9, and then 21-9. Improvement. When he was at Providence, they were 11-20, and then 17-14, and then 25-9. Kentucky, 13-19, he takes over, 14-14, then 22-6. He goes to Louisville, comes in, they're 12-19, then 19-13, then 25-7. Iona, Carlos.
That's right. Now, I noticed one.
12-17 to 12-6, COVID year, to 25-8. And now with St. John's, they were 18-15, 20-13, and now 26-4. So as I'm filling out my brackets, I'm having a hard time when I get to St. John's because I do recognize how good they are. I also, I just am tired of hearing about them because of all the New York people I follow. So I let my personal feelings come into my brackets.
Yeah, and your personal hatred for New York seems a bit much and unnecessary, to be honest. But I understand. I understand. And
okay, I love New York.
No, you don't. It's okay.
What I hate is when New York people... Like, get into... What I really hate is when St. Peter's was good that one year and then everybody, like, you know, was going crazy. You don't care about them.
Jersey City, New Jersey? I actually do.
No! St. Peter's, Doug Edert! Come on. That's what bothered me. See, little tiny things that happen to me that aren't even anything, I find a way to blow them up into something, and then I even find a way to somehow have it cost me money when I fill out my brackets and then dog St. John's.
Attention seeker. But reason why we always forget, and this is why if you're not from around here, and I understand it, I do. I get why people hate me, never mind New York. I understand. However, I think when you're not here, you forget how many of these teams are here, and it's little things that flare up. It's not New York, but it's New Jersey. When you say New York, like I consider myself like from the area. I've never lived in New York. I've always lived in New Jersey. Would I be looked at as a non-New Yorker? No. I mean, it was almost like, go to hell. I'm from here. So we almost kind of encompass the whole tri-state. Connecticut, not as much. But they encompass the whole tri-state. So it's still the idea that we almost latch on to things that are not that big a deal to us. Does that make sense? Like, we can feel good about a St. Peter's flare-up because it's fun and it's an enormous story and we enjoy it for just the pleasure of enjoying it. You want to break down the Yankees and the Mets? Now we're in a different scenario. Now we're going to almost be at each other's throats. So it's different.
Meanwhile, I posted a picture of me and my brother at the Bucks game last night and someone commented, "Both of you look like you belong in Wisconsin." I'm trying to reconcile what that means. What the hell does that mean?
I mean, you do look like a couple of guys that are from Wisconsin.
No, come on. Well, I wear it proudly, then fine. All right. I was just going to crutch do the phone number. I was just going to crutch do it. Then I remembered. 888-710-4ISN. New phone number, guys. 888-710-4476. We'll come on back. Here's an update with Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz is here. Carlos sent me a text today at 3:21 my time, and you said whiny Cena.
Yeah, misspelled twice.
Referencing John Cena. Who on, we're just, give me a couple minutes, please. He's a bad guy now. He's been a good guy for 20 years. He's a bad guy now.
Whoa.
At Elimination Chamber, he turned heel and kicked Cody Rhodes in the nuts.
Holy smokes!
On behalf of The Rock. The Rock wanted Cody's soul, real thing that happened. And then Cena got all pumped up when Cody said, "F you, Rock." And then Cena kicked him in the nuts and turned bad. And in Brussels, Belgium today, John Cena cut his first, what we're calling a heel promo.
"Worked hard like I always do, and I started to win and 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 win. Oh, I won a lot and you hated it. It wasn't enough."
So his basis for turning is, "You never liked me enough I tried so hard for you, and I finally snapped. I don't hate it.
I don't either.
It is weird. But also, this should have been done a long time ago.
Agreed.
But it's weird that it's happening now. John Cena is retiring from wrestling at the end of this year. And eventually he's going to come back and say that he didn't mean any of this. That's why I'm having a hard time like with it, is eventually he will say, unless he just goes out, he's going to go out as a bad guy? No. So how do they, like at some point, I feel like, you know, sometimes when you watch a wrestling match, you know when the show is going to end because it ends, you know, at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or whatever. And so you're like, well, I can't get super into this because I know it's ending here in 3 minutes. But this, it feels like I know how this is going to end. He's going to turn into a good guy again. Right? Don't you think that?
I don't think so.
You think he just stays bad and deuces out?
I think what's going to happen is he's going to ride this out for the remainder of the year. I do believe he's going to win the championship. They're going to allow him.
Yeah, I think he's going to win too.
They're going to allow him to break Ric Flair's
record. And
he's going
to fight Randy Orton at Backlash. They already showed a graphic today.
Way to spoil that.
That's what I think is going to happen.
You know, yeah, because you get the whole the Cody lineage, the Cody tree, if you will. You still have to fight through all of that. I think when it's all said and done, Cody will eventually get the title back. Whatever's the latest premium live event they would now call it. Whatever the latest one is.
They're going to do one specific. They're going to call it Ruthless Aggression. They're going to do basically a John Cena theme pay-per-view.
And when is that?
At the end of the year. That'll be his retirement.
Okay. He will lose at that one. He will come back the next Monday Night Raw. He'll say, you know what? The better man win. He'll finally put Cody or whoever beats him over. And then he's just going to go away for a while. The heat will naturally die down. And when he does come back, he's going to get that huge pop back to babyface, and we're all square. But I think he rides this heel thing out.
One of the things that he was doing today was saying, even those of you that are for me, you're suckers too.
I actually love that part.
And then he goes, even that kid right there, and they show this little Belgian boy decked out in the same exact thing Cena is wearing. And it's going to be a new reaction meme for our time.
Oh, 1,000%. That's the new Miz girl.
Yeah, the Miz girl. Yeah. The Miz turned, and did he lose, or was it a turn?
No, that's when he cashed in on a Money in the Bank on Randy Orton and won a title for the first time.
Yeah. Now, there was another clip. I wanted to actually play that clip where he was yelling at the kid, but the crowd in the background is chanting, F you, Cena, but they're saying the real word. First of all, when they go to Europe or anywhere else, these crowds are, I wish American crowd. Now, we're used to, Monday Night Raw's in our city. Okay, this is the 15th time, right? It's kind of died down a little bit. Belgium's never had a Monday Night Raw. They've gotten dumb house shows throughout the year where nothing happens throughout the years. So the crowds are just great. They're singing the whole time. Everybody's into it. It really, if you're going to watch the product. Also, one cool thing about the Netflix thing is they used to tape these shows and then air them in its normal time on USA. We were able to watch this during the day today.
That was great. They really should think of pushing the show back earlier. This was phenomenal.
Because SmackDown's overseas too. That's going to happen during the day, and then you're going to have to watch it at night. This is on Netflix, and they're like, screw it. We'll just air it worldwide. We do anyway. We might as well just do it now. And I picked up my kid from school today, and we watched Monday Night Raw in the middle of the day. It was awesome. It was awesome. Now, again, I would have liked to play the clip where they were swearing and saying F. You know what really made me mad the other day? Sometimes when I want to see what the news is, I go to the News Mix channel. Because that's got all the channels. There's Fox, there's MSNBC, there's CNN, there's even like BBC, there's all this stuff. So I want to see what's happening on all the different channels, who's reporting what, how they're talking about it, what the news is. And so I did that Saturday night I turned it on, and Bill Maher's show was on. They air it on HBO or Max, and then they air it on CNN, 8 o'clock Eastern, this is 5 Pacific, unedited F-bombs. Pat McAfee's running around. He's saying swear words all day long on ESPN at lunch. I had to pick the right clip and carefully listen so that you couldn't pick up crowd audio that said the F word. That is angering me.
I agree. It's antiquated.
Yeah, I don't want to just be like the first, if that ever changes, the first day I'm gonna be like, hey, I'm Bart effing Winkler. You know, I don't want to, but sometimes I just don't want to play audio and be like, oh my God, I made a mistake. Right now for the bit would be a great time for me to yell F as loud as I could. I always want to do that. Someday. Just to complain. I'm a good little boy. Infinity Sports Network.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.